Certainly, once again, this side of eternity, God has been very merciful to us and has blessed us with another opportunity that we could assemble together in a fine fashion like this and be able to worship Him in spirit and truth. It's always encouraging to me to be among God's people on the Lord's Day and every opportunity that I have to assemble with those of like precious faith. I want you to let you know again how appreciative we are that each and every one of you are here. We again mention that there are visitors with us, and we're thankful that you are here. And of course, there are many places that individuals could purpose to be, but each and every one of you on the Lord's Day have purposed to be among God's people, and we appreciate you for doing that. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, talking about the Bereans, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures whether those things were so. Then in the very next verse, verse 12, he says, and many of them believed. The only way that we're going to believe, if you haven't already, is by an honest investigation of God's Word. I invite you to be attentive to what I say this morning. Our appeal in every service that we conduct here at Mill Street is to what the Scriptures say. We want to do the kind of teaching and preaching that demands where we open up the pages of the Bible and we put our finger on what the text says. And we'll leave all else alone. And I hope that that appeals to you this morning. I hope that you will expect nothing less than for us to give a book, chapter, and verse for the things that we say. And certainly if I go beyond what the Bible says or if I fall short of what it says, then I hope that you will care enough about me to point those things out to me. And if I'm wrong, then I'll be honest enough to admit that I'm wrong. I'll repent of that and never preach it again so that heaven will be my home. So I appreciate you being attentive to what I say this morning. Last week and the week before, as we talked about the Christian and putting on, week before last, the Christian putting off, I told you that this week we would look at the Christian and social media. Now this morning, we, as typically the case is, we are so very blessed to have just a mixture of individuals from very young to elderly. And we're so thankful for that. We're thankful for each and every person, again, that is here. And so those who are older, it may be the case that you may not relate to a lot of the things that we talk about relative to social media. It may be that you don't use social media. I don't know. It may very well be the case that you do. Especially our younger ones. There's not a doubt in my mind that if I were to ask the young people assembled with us this morning, how many of you use social media, in whether it's one form or another, I believe I would be safe in saying that the vast majority, if not every one of our young people, use social media. This is an important topic, and there's a lot that can be said about social media. There's a lot that needs to be said about God's people and social media. And so I hope that you don't take the lesson as in any way that I'm trying to down the use of social media in its entirety. There's a lot of good things that come as a result of the internet and the things that were in technology and the things that we may mention this morning. But I hope that you hear me loud and clear when I say that the bad things are wrong and they need to be shunned by the people of God and not embraced. And I hope that I can make that very plain and clear as we turn to the pages of God's Word. There's various different forms of social media. And you may have one particular in mind that you think about when someone says social media. But as I was thinking about this lesson and putting the material together and studying about it and doing some research about various different things, well, it occurred to me that there is just a vast amount of things that could be called social media. Many of you can remember a time when the internet didn't even exist. The internet is still relatively pretty new, And a lot of the different things that come up on the internet are fairly recent. I could date myself very easily, as we'll look at some of these things this morning, and I can recall the internet not being used in the household. I remember going to school and not having the internet. I certainly remember the case when, very vividly, when we were trying to learn how to use a mouse. So something so simple to our young people today, I can remember just exactly what class it was, exactly what type of computer it was, and the program, and what it looked like. And the instructor tells us this is how you use a mouse. You talk about things changing in a very relatively short period of time. When you think about the internet, and you think about social media, and you think about things that can be found on the internet, there are a lot of changes that have occurred in a very short period of time. And someone says, well, preacher, what business does social media have at all being preached at from the pulpit on the Lord's Day? It's relevant. Because you can't help but be exposed to it nowadays in one form or another, and there's a lot of dangers that come along with it. Real dangers that come along with it. Well, someone said, I don't have the internet. Well, a lot of people that may not have the internet have a smartphone, and they have a data plan, and they're able to get on the internet and very relatively touch of the finger. And not all of that is bad. But the point is that a lot of the things that happen out in the world that are ungodly, that are contrary to what God would have us to do, and contrary to the way that God would have us to live our lives, sometimes creep into the mix of God's people, into the church. And so we need to think about these things. I don't know to what extent you can relate to everything that we're going to talk about this morning. But it needs to be thought about. If you don't use the internet and you don't use social media, then that's the choice that you've made. But again, we've got so many of our young people who in the day and age that they are in school, and so many assignments, they're expected to go online and do research into Google or whatever search engine you use and so forth. They're exposed to this, and it's relevant to each and every one of us. I want us to think about just a timeline briefly. A lot of time could be spent on something of this nature, but we don't want to give a whole lot of time to it. But I just want you to see again how relatively recent the internet and this technology and all the things that it's really a household name today, is still pretty relevant. Well, the idea of the internet and so forth really began in the 50s when these computers were being developed and they were made. And now you can go on various different sites and look at timelines and so forth and do some research on that. But in 1969, there was a group that was the Advanced Research Projects Agency that went online in December of that year, and they connected four computers together, four entities, universities or so forth, and that was the first time that this linking together of these computers and these networks, whatever, began. Now, you think about that. 1969 to 2015, and look how much information is on the World Wide Web. I want us to think about some of that just for a moment. It had its beginning in 1976. I would date myself probably very hurriedly if I were to say that prior to 1976, Donnie Oliver wasn't here. But 1976, the first email was sent by the Queen of England. First email, 1976. How many of you send emails today? How many of you receive emails today? How much of your communication is done by email? Well, 1982, the word internet was used for the first time, linking together of various different Communications, computers, networks, so forth. 1994, whitehouse.gov launched its website. 1994. You can still go on there and look at various different things relative to administrations and so forth. 1995, I remember this very well. CompuServe, America Online and Prodigy, offered internet on a dial-up basis for the first time for households. Now, a lot of you young people probably can't even remember, don't even really know what dial-up service was, because now you have Wi-Fi. But dial-ups are when you put your telephone cable in the back of your computer and it connected via a modem. And you heard all that noise going on until it connected to the internet, right? We remember that, those who were exposed to that at that time. In 2005, another year that you can look at, YouTube is launched for the first time. How many videos is uploaded to YouTube? You can go there and put just about anything you want to as far as how to fix something. I know maybe some of you ladies use it for recipes, how to cook something. I've listened, I don't know how many sermons from YouTube. Some of our things are uploaded via YouTube. The Reflections of Truth on our website are linked to YouTube. Well, that's pretty recent. 2005, it's only been around 10 years. But then these other things came on the scene. Pinterest and Bing, Facebook. How many people here, don't raise your hands, just think about it. But how many people among us have a Facebook account? I remember when that was just getting started. And you can probably remember that too. And so the conversations that brethren were having regarding Facebook and, well, where is this going to go? And is it good? Is it bad? Is it a good thing to upload our pictures onto the internet? Is it a good thing in the midst of the sinful world in which we live with so many predators in our to upload just freely the pictures of our youth and our children? Again, it's pretty recent, many of this is. Remember getting seeing a computer that many times we're talking about the process, say, Intel inside? Well, the point that I want to make about this is that the internet and all those types of things were not invented for bad, as much as I could tell from studying and doing some research on it. It wasn't intended to do bad things. But inevitably, guess what happens along the way? Wicked people with wicked minds try to devise ways in which we can do wicked things. And that's what happened. And so something that could be used for good. You think about all the good that can be used by the internet. People who cannot get out and drive and do things like that can, if they have internet access, stay at home, pay all their bills, get all that accomplished. Well, that's a pretty good thing. You can sit at home and you can study God's Word and do research on God's Word. Listen to sermons. I know congregations who stream their worship services live. One congregation in particular that I know, they have some laptops available. If they have a member that's shut in or in the hospital, they take a laptop in the hospital, get them connected on Wi-Fi, and they can watch the worship service live. There's a lot of good things that can come about as a result of the internet. But something that was meant to be perhaps good and a lot of use came designed, really, if you can't hardly see that, Satan was behind a lot of the things that were going to come along. We've got to be careful about the internet. We've got to be careful about social media and various different things like that. We're not doing a sermon this morning, which it would be a good sermon to do, on pornography and the dangers of that. But I put these up here because the internet is dangerous for a lot of these reasons. I just want you to notice these stats. As of 2003, there were 1.3 million pornographic websites. Now, remember, 1995 was when internet and the household use was really being made popular with America Online Prodigy and CompuServe and some of those others. Well, that's from 1995 to 2003, and look what happened. 1.3, I would hate to know what the number is right now, 2015. The total Pornographic industry revenue for 2006 was $13.3 billion in the United States and $97 billion worldwide. 29% of this, I put in quotations, born-again adults, and we know how the world uses that, in the U.S. feel it is morally acceptable to view movies with this type of behavior in it. Can you imagine that? Among people who claim to be religious, if it were 1%, that would be 1% too many. But yet again, this amount said, well, it's morally acceptable to view. 28% of those admitting to this type of addiction are women. 47% of families say that pornography was a problem in their home. In 2003, the internet, and that, if I recall, that this stat came from a .gov source. In 2003, the internet was a significant factor in 2 out of 3 divorces. I didn't say some of these other things that these statistics talked about, but it says the internet. I'm sure logging onto the internet and watching sermons was probably not what that's talking about. But the point was that 2 out of 3, according to that source, divorces was because of internet in some form or another. Here's one that was chilling. Again, it's not what our sermon is on, but again, I want you to know the dangers out there. And we have got to guard our kids against what is online. Some of you are law enforcement, and you've seen this a lot more than I have. The years that I spent in child protective services, I saw this a lot more than what I wish I would have seen and the extent of it. But 1 in 7 children who use the internet have been solicited sexually for this type of behavior. 1 in 4 kids participate in real-time chat. How many of us here this morning allow our kids to chat with people online? I don't know. But I hope if you're doing that you are 100% aware of who they're chatting with. I hope it's someone you know personally, by the way. Not just, well, they said it's a friend type of knowledge. 1 in 5 children 10 to 17 years old receive unwanted sexual solicitations online. And 2 in 5 abductions of children ages 15 to 17 are due to internet contact. 2 out of 5. In 2 Corinthians 6:18, the Bible says, flee sexual immorality. The King James Version says fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sin against his own body. There's a lot of dangers that we could look at this morning in a sermon like this. I want us to think about Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The dangers of social media are real, and we're going to talk about those for the remaining time that we have. I understand that that's a pretty lengthy introduction to a sermon, but it's necessary nonetheless. And I just simply want us to go through and catalog about 10 dangers. And there's a lot of other references that could be given to these, but I've tried, for the sake of time, to keep them pretty short. I'll give you enough to substantiate the point. The first one that I want you to think about, and I want you to think about social media in particular, whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook or Pinterest, whatever else that it may be that you are aware of, that you are using, or that you know about. And not all of that, again, not all of that stuff is bad. You can control to a pretty good extent, from what I can tell, what is on your Facebook page. So far as I've received posts that I could pretty quickly say, I don't want to see this, or unfollow this person, and so forth. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you can even unfriend someone. So there's ways to not be exposed to some of these bad things. But the first one that I want you to think about is gossip. Gossip is no longer confined with just picking up the phone and talking or going down the street to the neighbor's house. How much gossip is put forth because or by way of Facebook? You ever thought about that? In fact, if you would want to be a gossiper, and I hope that you don't want to be, I hope that you're not doing that, Facebook would be a pretty convenient way to engage in tail packing and gossip. And yet, how many among God's people, I'm not saying here, but generally speaking, are engaged in gossip on Facebook? Have you ever got posts that you look at and you say, you know what, that's just gossip. It's all that is gossip and tail packing. It's not to the edification of whoever they're talking about. It's not to the uplifting of that person or to the care and concern of their soul well-being, but it's gossip. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 11, he says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Again, he's talking about being disorderly. He's talking about not working. Talking about being idle. And he says, are busybodies. Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, I want you to listen to this wise statement. How many of you have kindled fires? Probably a lot of us, right? I noticed yesterday evening at the Ray's home, there was a fire kindled outside. I remember very well carrying the wood and the coal and burning, getting fires started in the mornings and getting up to just a cold house because the fire had went out. Well, notice what he says. Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. That's a true statement. And notice the rest of it. That is just as true as that. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You want to put an end to strife among people and hard feelings toward people? Stop tailpacking. That'll do it pretty quick. That's what he's saying. He's saying just as there is a fire and then there's no wood, the fire will cease to burn because it has no one on fire or fuel. That's what he's saying. In the absence of tailpacking, the strife will cease. But you know what happens every time we tailpack and every time we carry one thing or to someone else? So far as gossip is concerned, what we're talking about, you're putting another log on the fire. I would be taking the fuel, the gas, and throwing it onto the fire, kindling it, if I was engaged in that type of behavior. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34, O generation of vipers, the Lord said, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, what's the rest of that? The mouth speaketh. Preacher, what's that got to do with gossip? Because it's a condition of the heart. It has to do with heart problems. Our heart's not right. When all we can think about is logging on, getting on Facebook, and tailpacking or saying things that is gossip. You may not be engaged in that. I don't have anybody in particular in mind when I say that. But again, we're looking at the dangers of that, and I'm telling you that Facebook is a very easy outlet for that type of behavior. Think about the posts that you get on Facebook. And I don't know the extent of this, but it seems like when someone sends you a friend request, now I don't know exactly how this works, and you accept them as a friend, it seems like, as it were, all the baggage comes, all the stuff that maybe they're friends with, and all the stuff gets posted to their thing ends up somehow on your... I don't know how all that's interconnected. But I've told Tracy numerous times, I don't understand why all this stuff is on here. And sometimes you can't get rid of all of it. I remember very well, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, a client that I had who was, him and his wife were having problems and kids were involved in it, and he sent me a picture through Facebook. A very graphic picture on Facebook. And I had no idea and still do not know how to delete those things when they come. But what I did was I ended up completely shutting down the account, just deleting the whole account. You got to be careful about stuff like that. Not only is it easy on social media to gossip, but when you think about the danger of one's reputation being damaged. Well, the reputations are not important, someone says. Well, the Bible differs with that. I know that we can probably go to the extreme about reputations, but Proverbs 22 verse 1, the Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. Yes, it is important what people think about me. And to a large extent of it, I'm in control of what people think about me. And notice I didn't say complete control, but to a large control, or a large extent, percent, I'm in control of that. In the book of 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12, he says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may, what's he say, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Don't put anything on the internet that would cause your reputation to be marred. Someone say, well, are you just making it all about the person? Well, to a large degree, it is about the person. But as God's people, it's not always about me. It's not always about my reputation. It's not always about my integrity. It is about that, but not, I'm saying the extent of it is not just in me. You know why? Because a lot of times what people associate with Job are things that they associate with all the people where Job attends services at, or with God's people. And they say, well, if Donnie does that, do they permit that there where he attends that? Is that what they do? Do they support that? Again, you go to the extreme on that. We understand that one doesn't always reflect on the entirety. But I'm saying that the devil will use that. Don't give an occasion like David did for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the God of heaven. Remember what he did with Bathsheba? His sin was forgiven, but you have given opportunity, he was told. Occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme him. What you do reflects on each and every other child of God. And we'll see that in some of the other references. The next one I want you to think about is slander. Now, so many of these things that we're looking at, you would say, preacher, I know that I don't do that, and I know that a child of God is not supposed to do that, and that's really just a no-brainer. We understand that. The point is we're looking at dangers of social media. You may not be engaged in that. You may know not. Or you may know not to slander someone. But again, it's the danger that is presented online. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanders, sober, faithful in all things. He's, in the context that he's talking about the elders, and he's talking about their wives. Well, you know what? Nobody else's wives are to be slanders. And to say things that would be unbecoming of a Christian, of the child of God. We just had read in our presence a moment ago from 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 6 rather, verses 14 through 18, about coming out from among them, having no fellowship, is what he's talking about, not being unequally yoked with unbelievers, but being separate. It's important as God's people that we not do things that would spot our garments or lead to other things that would be wrong or to have God's people talked about. And not only to abstain from slandering one another, but anybody. Anybody. Proverbs 10, verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Do you want to be categorized by inspiration as a fool? Neither do I. I don't either. Well, if I don't want to be a fool in the sight of God, then I don't need to have lying lips and I don't need to be slandering. So we've got to be careful about that danger. Have you not seen that on Facebook and other forms of social media? You can go to YouTube and there's all kinds of videos that's just somebody slandering somebody else. They got hurt about something, feelings got hurt, or somebody did them bad. And next thing you know, they are taking a video on themselves on some rant about how somebody did them wrong. And they're just, it'll be endless of what is on the internet like that. And let me also say, be careful what you search for. Be careful what you search for. I'm not saying individuals searching for bad things. We understand that's not right. But you can put something relatively innocent in a search engine window and come back with a whole lot of things that had nothing to do with what you were searching for, but plus were pretty bad things. In fact, just to give you an example of that, when you're doing research on pornography or the dangers of social media or whatever, think about what you're certain. Sometimes unrelated links can come up to some of those things. You may not do it on purpose, but be careful. When your children are engaged in different things that they like to do and they have various different interests and they say, hey, I just want to go to YouTube, see if there's a video about it, you better be careful how they search for it. You better put in the phrase for them or be sitting there when they do, because you're going to get a host of not just links, but you're going to get a host of video trailers or previews, pictures of what that video is about. You better be careful with that. Now, we find that out pretty quick with Ethan and some of the interests he has with guns and soldiers and various different things. And we don't just turn him loose and say, well, take your iPad on in your bedroom and do search for what. We don't do that. It's too dangerous to do that. Well, the next one I want you to think about, and that is indecency. From time to time, we've got to be reminded about the fact that God expects us as His people to not be indecent, to be covered up, and not expose areas of our body which have no business being exposed to the world. In Genesis 3, verses 7 and 21, you can read about the fact that when Adam and Eve's eyes were opened, when they had disobeyed God, they hid themselves. They took a leaf of some type, a fig leaf, whatever. Exactly what that looked like, I don't know. But tried in an attempt to cover themselves. But then in verse 21, the Bible says that God made them coats and clothed them. Folks, there's a difference, as I taught last year in a sermon. There is a difference between an apron and a coat. I suggest to you that a coat will cover a lot more than what an apron will. Be careful about social media and the pictures that are posted on social media. Just about everybody has a profile picture on Facebook. I don't know what your profile pictures look like. I don't know right off. But I know that I've seen a lot of profile pictures, not if anyone here, I'm not saying that, but just in general, that are not decent. Now, I'm not talking about exposed completely, but indecent, unbecoming, not fully clothed. Well, I'm fully clothed from the shoulders to the knees. Cover up. Cover up. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through through 4. And again, you may not be engaged in it. I'll say that again. But we're talking about the dangers, and we're talking about the fact that, listen, we are God's people. Our people have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine that's been revealed in the Bible. We've had our sins forgiven. And there's a lot at stake. Not only in the saving of our own soul, but in our influence toward others as we try to help others go to heaven. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now again, I know that we can swing the pendulum into the extreme of either direction. But we've got to understand what God expects us to do, both men and women, to be covered. Ladies, I'm not saying go out and try to order you a burqa somewhere and start. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying be appropriate, be decent. Men, be decent. Cover our bodies the way that God would have us to cover our bodies. And when you post something to the internet, don't post something that is indecent and so forth. Unkindness. Proverbs 31, verse 26. She openeth her mouth, and he's talking about this woman he's describing. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. That's not just in person. That should be in every contact that we have with another individual, that we're kind, that we're kind-hearted. Ephesians 4, verse number 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Are we kind? Have you seen some unkind things on the internet? Unkind statements people make toward others? Again, it's the dangers of it. If we recognize the dangers of various different things, chances are we're not going to be caught off guard when those things come our way, if we understand the dangers of them. Hatred. Leviticus 19:17 talks about, thou shalt not hate thy neighbor in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin to be upon him. Don't hate someone. If you want to make a post, post something that's going to edify somebody. Post something that's going to encourage somebody. Post something that's going to be useful information for somebody. And not something that's going to tear them down. I think there might be more than one among us who post things relative to Bible lessons. And that's good. Keep up. Keep up the good work in doing that. Use those things that are there for good, for the advancement of the cause of Christ. 1 John 2, verses 9 and 11 talks about how much we need to love one another. We don't want to be a murderer. He that hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Don't hate people, but love people. Don't have hate in your heart. And temptation. James chapter 1 talks a lot about temptation. He says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, and lust when it brings forth sin, and sin when it's finished brings forth death. Matthew 4, verse number 3. In that passage when the Lord said, when the Bible says the tempter came to him. Who is the tempter? Not God, but the devil. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. lest the tempter had came. It's the devil, not God. Is that a real present danger online? You better believe it is. A temptation to gossip, slander, hate, be unkind, view things that would corrupt our minds. There's a lot of various different things that would be temptation. Endorsement of sin. Why, what does endorsement of sin have to do with social media? Have you ever known someone to share or to like a page that they shouldn't have shared or liked? Isn't that common on Facebook? If you like it, or if you agree, press like and share with someone else. I've got someone who sends me some things which are pretty useful for the most part. And I've never known him to say anything that would be unbecoming. But I have noticed that along the way, things that perhaps he shares is not bad in of itself, but then the name or the picture or the statement made by the person who shared it with him is something I don't even want to read. Their profile name is not, I would not even repeat it. Really, I don't want to think about it. Profanity or the pictures. Now think about that. If I were to send you something, and yet the source that it came from was a profane source, had profanity in it or indecency in it or something of that sort, would you appreciate that? Don't only be careful with what you're putting on there, but be careful with what you're liking. And be careful with the source that it came from which you just shared it with everybody that you're friends with. Think about that. I've seen the extreme bad words on there, four-letter words and so forth. Not that the person who sent it to me said that, but the person who they originally got it from said that. And now they shared what they thought was a good thought in the post. You got to be careful with that kind of stuff. Don't do anything that, again, is going to cause your integrity to be questioned, or do anything that is going to be an endorsement of sin. Now, if I'm on the internet and I'm posting bad things and you come along and you like what I put, folks, you're endorsing what I just did. Don't do that. Well, I'm not endorsing. Yes, you are. You just put that you like it. That's a danger. Don't do that. Don't endorse sin. Ephesians 5, 11 and 12. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Right? 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Our scripture reading, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. You'll be my people, I'll be your God. That necessitates us being unlike the world. There's another one I want you to think about. Influence, again, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. He talks about our influence on the Sermon on the Mount. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a table that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 1 Timothy 4, 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, and then they list several ways in which to be an example in faith, charity, conversation, conduct, so forth. Be an example of what it means to be a Christian. Reflect positively what it means to be a Christian at Mill Street. And don't do anything that would cause someone to talk negatively about you, God, or your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now listen, in spite of what you do, sometimes people are going to do that. The devil, our adversary, is like a roaring lion. Remember? Peter wrote, walketh around, seeking whom he may devour. He's waiting to quench that opportunity to mar your name, your fellow Christians' name, and God's name. Stumbling block, Romans 14, 13, and Matthew 18, 6. Don't put a stumbling block in the way of someone. Don't do anything that would cause your brother or sister to stumble, to become weak, or anything like that. The consequences, sin separates us. We know these verses, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, Proverbs 28, 9. He that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination to God. There's consequences to what we do. Fellowship is lost because our fellowship with God is on the stipulation that we walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. An eternal life forfeited. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The Lord said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Remember that? Well, preacher, what can we do? There's so much more that could be said on a topic like this, but I'll tell you. What you can do, maybe someone says, well, preacher, I struggle with social media. I struggle with temptations that are presented online with some of the various different things, whether it's gossip or pornography or whatever it might be. Here's some things you can do. Now, outside the fact that we've got to recognize we're God's people and to abstain from those things, but number one, you don't have to have the internet, neither do I. We don't have to have it. There was a time when we didn't have it, we got along just fine, didn't we? In fact, I'd almost be willing to say that in the absence of all the available things that are available today, that preachers long ago seemed to be a lot more knowledgeable and better equipped to do the job of preaching the gospel than preachers of today. If you don't believe that, read something wrote by a preacher today and compare it to someone who wrote in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and so forth, and see if there's not a vast difference. So one, you don't have to have internet. Get rid of it. You go to the library, and there you can do whatever you need to do. Or two, put your computer in a place that's central in your home where other people are there and they can see it. And it may not be as strong of a temptation to you. You don't have to be in the corner of some bedroom on the other side of the house where nobody comes, and there you wrestle with the temptation of, do I say this? Do I post this? Do I look at this? Or whatever. I'm just telling you things that we would tell people when I was working with the state of Pierce House. You could work on some of these things. Use internet security. Block a lot of those sites. You don't have to have just wide open access to everything. Make you a list of things. I know these sites are good. These are the sites I'll go to, and I won't go to the other ones. Purpose to do that. Have someone that you can confide in that will not gossip, who will not tell Pat, and tell them, I'm having this problem. Will you help me overcome it? Help them keep eye on that. It'll be easier for you when you know that there's someone that's watching, but keep in mind that God is watching, Hebrews 4:13. And I'm reminded about a story as we close the lesson about a preacher who was saying that his parent was having just all kinds of problems with his child, and his child was just belligerent. They were just disrespectful and just not honoring his parents. One day he got mad at his father and he ran into his bedroom door and he slammed the door. What would you do about that? Well, his father was asked, well, how'd you handle that? He said, this is how I handled it. I went and took the bedroom door off the hinges and we never had that problem again. I like that. There's ways to overcome things. But we got to recognize the dangers in very, not all of it's bad. I've learned a great deal of classes I've taken online and Bible studies that I've done online and so forth, and a lot of it is good and meant for good. But you got to watch the bad stuff because not everybody on the internet is spiritually minded. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. Right? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what we've got to be interested in, spiritual things. I encourage you this morning, if you're not a Christian, you'll do what's necessary to keep yourself and spotted from the ways of the world. Obey the gospel, and then that's our charge to keep ourselves. An endeavor, a constant endeavor to abstain from that which is wrong. There's only one way to become a Christian. And again, if the world were to stand for 10,000 years from now, that will never change. God's Word will never change. And you become a Christian by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8:24, repenting of your sins, having a change of heart that results in a change of action. Luke 13:3. Confessing your faith before those present this morning that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. Like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. And then be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. To arise to walk in newness of life, the Lord will add you to His church, the church of Christ, the one you read about on the pages of the Bible, Acts 2:47. But perhaps you have done that and you've fallen away and turned your back on the Lord. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We know that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess our faults to Him. We'll pray with Him for you. If you're subject to the gospel call, we bid you come.